You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.
Good morning to you, Nancy. Thank you for getting up and doing this.
Oh, well, thank you for getting up so early every morning to help us out and kind of navigate through these times.
There's some ugly times out there.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
It is difficult right now, but we have an assurance, right? We've got our relationship with Jesus Christ, but we also have an assurance in what the Lord spoke when he shared what his name was. And I got to mention this a little bit earlier as I talked about this, the power of I am. Bill over in Kokomo, he said, you know, hey, if you go and you check it out and you look at John, I think it's John 18 is where you ultimately find it, when Jesus is arrested in the garden. And they say, you know, well, he says, hey, who are you looking for? And they say, well, we're looking for Jesus Christ. And he says, I am who you say that you're looking for. And they fall down. The soldiers fall down before him. That's power in that word of I am. So tell us, what is the significance in God's name, I am?
Yes, and you know, that story in the garden, I'm glad that he called and brought that up, because the amazing part of that story was, you know, when he was about ready to get arrested. Of course, he never carried a weapon, but they came fully armed, about 200 of those soldiers. But the thing is, who you're looking for, you know, I am. Yep. And that there's that name, that holy of holy names, and they all fall down. But then they got back up and arrested him. You know, so he kept giving them chance after chance. And I feel a little bit in these times, Steve, that God is using the horrificness of what we're seeing unfold in Ukraine from the Russians. I think.
Well, it appears we are having a slight
to bring people to him, you know? Well, but go ahead.
No, I was going to say that is so true that he does use that to bring people to him, to draw attention to himself. It's so on point.
Yeah. Absolutely. And in times like this, you know, when there are wars and rumors of wars that scripture talks about, where do we go to our comfort? And I think our natural inclination for many is to look to our leaders, our military troops, to somebody that has the answers and that will bring us hope. But the Holy Spirit, God himself, tells us to come to me, the brightest of human minds cannot undo the ramifications of continuous sin that has led our nation and our world into chaos like we are seeing today. And without God in his wisdom and power, the truth of the matter is there is no hope. And sadly, you know, many are praying to a God they don't know. They're praying to a God who fixes stuff, who does their bidding. He thinks that God will make them happy if they call out his name or whatever. But the thing is that God is holy and he's a forgiver of our sins. And it's not until we truly trust him in him as our Savior can we have peace during these terrible times. And I think what we're seeing as the fallout from Ukraine are those brave, gallant Christians that are calling out to God and watching him work miracles every day over there. And I think the world is coming closer to God as they're seeing the effect of what it means when people pray. And when we pray and seek to know and love and trust and follow the one true God, he will hear us. And I love 2 Chronicles 7, 13, 14. This is so awesome. When I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among the people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. And I believe if we look through the eyes of Christ, through a biblical worldview, we're going to see God doing just that.
Oh, I believe so as well. You know, when we call him God, we say that, we use that word and we use that name, but he has a number of names by which he's known in the Bible, Nancy. What can we learn about God from studying his names?
Well, that's kind of the issue of today, you know. What is the significance of God's name? Essentially, especially his name, I Am. In the names for God in the Old Testament, there are many, many, many names that reveal his nature. And that's so important that it's his attributes that God has revealed to us through his names. Some of the more prominent ones include Elohim, which means strong, and plural. It's a singular male, but it's plural in definition, which points to the triunity of God. And he uses Elohim to teach that. El Shaddai stresses God's loving supply and control. But it can also point to the power of God who corrects and chastens. And then Elyon means the highest God, which emphasizes God's strength, God's sovereignty and supremacy. So there are many, many names of God that gives us hope and peace.
Well, they certainly give us hope and peace, but there's one name that God has given to himself. What is it?
Oh, it's amazing. That one name that shines out from all others, Steve, because it's the name that God gave to himself. Not the Hebrew writers, not anybody, but God himself. It's so cool. And we read this in Exodus 3 when it says, "So now go," and he's talking to Moses, "I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you. And this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have been brought to the people, when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." And Moses said to God, "Suppose I do go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'Well, what's his name? What shall I tell him?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.'" And those are all capitals. "This is what you are to say to the Israelites. 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel: the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you."
Is that not just the most amazing words that you could possibly think of? I am. So what is the significance of the English translation of that?
Yeah. Well, the English translation is Yahweh. Y-A-H-W-E-H, and it's so holy that the Jews traditionally do not speak it verbally, mm-hmm. and when they write it without vowels.
Yes.
That's how holy this name is. Wow. I mean, just think of God, the creator of the universe, giving himself a name, I Am. And Yahweh is his name forever to be remembered through all generations. That's essentially what that means. I Am reflects God's nature of self-sufficiency, self-existence, and immediate presence. You know, I Am existence does not depend on a single soul. It doesn't depend on a condition. It doesn't depend on anything. God promises that he will be who he is. He is eternal. He is forever present and unchangeable. He will always be the one true God. And in times of trouble, we can and should go to him with God. Anything that aligns with his will is possible. Just think of that. He is ready and able to intervene at any time. And boy, have we seen that this week. It's just fascinating to me that God would let us see through the veil as to who he is.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is here is that Jesus also has identified as the I am. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the Father's Son. He and his Father are identical in nature, but separate in persons. And we see that in the triunity of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But they share each other's nature. They are one in nature. I and my Father are one. That's what he's talking about there, that the nature of God and the nature of Jesus are identical.
It is our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away Worldview Ministries. We are tackling the I Ams. We've already talked about how God has given this name to himself and how this is the way that the Lord said, introduce me to Pharaoh. You tell him, I am sent you. And now we see Jesus use this term as well. So Jesus calls himself I am, Nancy. What are the implications of that for us, and in particular for the disciples that he spoke that in front of in that day?
Oh, it is totally remarkable. You know, we have to remember that when we pray to Jesus, he is God. And he is our way to God the Father. And we don't understand it. Our little human minds, I don't care how smart we think we are. It's just mind-boggling, the whole thing. But when we see this piece in John 8, 53 through 59, we see Jesus coming against the Pharisees who are trying to trick him and, you know, make him stumble, which is, you know, just ridiculous. But when Jesus announced here in this piece that he is the I am, and we read this, his fate on earth was sealed. And take a look at this. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees when they asked, are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? And Jesus replied, I glorify myself. My glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim is your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you don't know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. And he saw it, and he was glad. And they said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, they said to him, and you have seen Abraham. And Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. At this, the Pharisees picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. It's just it's remarkable just to be able to read this in scripture. And then he goes on. We see it in Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The same description as was used for God the Father, we're seeing here in Jesus Christ. And of course, that beautiful piece in Matthew 8:28, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. This call from the I am, who is eternal, who always was, who reigns supreme, who's got everything in control. He's the same one that says, come to me. He's our personal God. Come to me, you who are weary, and I will give you rest. You know, and Steve, knowing that our God is the I am means that in the good times, in the hard times, our Lord is with us. He is the one true God who lives outside of time, meaning he knows the beginning and the end. He knows the beginning before we were born. He has counted the number of our days here. And so when God says that he's in control, we have nothing to fear. And we truly, with every piece of our being, can believe it. And when we just don't call out to a God that's random, but when we call out and put our faith in the eternal I am, death or life will never separate us from him. Without believing in the I am, we will be forever separated from God and live eternally in torment. That is why God has used his name, I am, to show us the gospel. And we see this in John 8, 23, 24. Jesus told his opponents, you are from below. I am from above. You are from this world. I am not from this world. And I told you, therefore, that you would die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And boy, that is the message. And if anybody's listening, you know, today is the day of salvation.
Yes.
This is what it's all about. And, you know, Steve, one of my favorite verses in all the scriptures, Isaiah 40, I think about it. I read it. It lifts me up and encourages me. It'd be, I think, a cool way to end up this part of this segment. When he says in Isaiah 40, 25 through 31, to whom will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these, who brings out the host by number, calling them by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives us power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
You know, Nancy, yesterday I'd encouraged everybody to actually read that very passage of scripture.
Oh,
and
great.
It was just so all of you should be very familiar with that by today. Okay. So we must remember that, though, who the Lord is, all powerful, omniscient, omnipotent. He is everlasting and he is I am. I love the names and studying the names of God, and you bring a great perspective to it, Nancy. And I got to say thank you for this today. What a blessing this teaching is.
Oh, listen, I just think it's key. And for those who are anxious and worried every day that for some reason the world's coming to an end, let me tell you, God's got it.
Yeah.
And he will bring people. He's not going to bring this world to an end as anxiety might have it be, but someday there'll be a new heaven and earth. But for the time being, God is in control and he's using what's going on today to bring millions to himself.
Yes.
When these bombs that are shot by Russia into that teeny little country and they're exploding in the air before they get there, and they're in awe.
Yeah,
the Ukrainians are in awe of what they're seeing over there. I mean, stuff is just different over there. God's got it, and he will use what Satan has done through Putin and some of these people, where Satan is ravishing and wanting to kill and destroy. God is claiming it is mine.
Yes.
It is not yours, and he will bring people to Christ. So. I just, as awful as that is, as scary as it is to see those Ukrainians go down into the subway area and have worship services. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Well, it's amazing.
Certainly God is in control, and we have to lean into that. He is sovereign, and just as you said, you know, evil will not be overcome. It is his, and he will do as he pleases, and those who oppose him will certainly find out how powerful he is. And so, Nancy, I've got to say thank you. We're going to get to Randy Ellis in 1 second, but if you are interested to find out more about Anchors Away Biblical Worldview Ministry, worldview and leadership, leadership training, you can go to anchorsaway.org, or if you get lost in that way, you can find it over at kellyandsteve.org under the resources tab in the ministry resources. Nancy, thank you so much.
You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.